We're taking a guided helicopter tour of the hyper nature of Norway this week as a mountainous dig unearths an ancient creature. Does this European monster measure up to the handful of other kaiju classics, or is this film about to get turned to stone in the harsh light of our ultraviolet 10-star review system? Find out along with us as we survive the Battle of Oslo. This is Kaiju versus History Troll.
Welcome back to Kaiju versus History. This is your paleontologist touched with a magical eye, Miles, and joining me is ye old internet troll king himself, Patrick. Patrick, how you doing, honey?
I'm living under this mountain as one day at a time, every day. Did you call me honey?
I said buddy.
Oh, buddy.
Oh yeah. I mean, we can turn this thing around if you want to. This could be a will they, won't they podcast.
Oh my. Will they or won't they watch every kaiju movie ever made? Well, hey, welcome to 2026, Miles, when this episode releases. We will be finishing up the podcast this year, believe it or not.
I don't. I refuse to believe it.
We're going
to
run out of kaiju movies. It's official.
You know what's funny is we're recording this on the day before Troll 2 comes out. So
yes, spoiler warnings. They made another one, and also spoiler warnings. No subtitle. They're just calling it Troll 2 because they wanted to confuse people on the internet.
Hey, good. No, I am all in on that effort.
So funny. We're talking, of course, about 2022's Troll, just Troll, the first movie this week. And I'm excited to talk about it because this is one of the films that came about after we had started the podcast. And I purposely did not watch it in order to save it to have a new experience when we got around to it. And there's both good and bad things for that, you know, in that process. It is nice to still have some surprises, I guess. But I don't think I can wait for Troll 2. I'm probably going to watch it when it comes.
Oh, I'll probably watch out that one next week at some point. Yeah. Like, I mean, look, that's all well and good when you start a podcast and you've got, like, you know. But at this point, I was like, no, I think I'm just going to watch this movie.
they're pretty close together. So this is episode 224. Troll 2 right now would be about 244. So it's only about 20 episodes away.
Oh, that's not too bad.
5 months or so. We'll be watching that probably that episode will be coming out, I guess, in May. But yeah, I'm excited about that. But yeah, first we got to watch the origin movie, the first film. Are you ready?
Yeah, it's also confusing when we record like X amount of time before. Because you're like, yeah, we're ending it this year. And I'm like, wait, what? And then I'm like, oh yeah, this is for 26.
I said, yeah, welcome to the new year. This is the first episode of 2026. This one should be coming out first week of January.
Well, Let's go ahead and get into it. So yeah, like you said, this is a 2022 Norwegian kaiju film coming to us as, I guess, a Netflix acquisition. Was it a Netflix original over there as well, or is that just the United States?
I believe it was, I think it was sold to Netflix. I don't think they originally funded the film. I think it was a kind of like after effect thing, but it was... It was all over for Netflix first. I believe it had a fairly limited release in theaters, which is something that they often do. But yeah, its primary distributor was Netflix and came out about 3 years ago from when we're recording this, December 1st, 2022.
Yes, and this comes to us from Roar Utog, who you might have seen one of his films. He did the reboot of Tomb Raider in 2018 that people seemed to like, just not go see. And, you know, as a result, it just kind of, you know, actually, I guess it did decently worldwide. It did $275 on a $90 to $100 million budget. But I believe it got canceled in the wake of COVID and everything. It got delayed and delayed, and now Amazon owns the property and they're going to do their own TV series and nonsense. But I did hear good things about that iteration of Tomb Raider, which I think is more inspired by the reboot game as well.
Yeah, I've still not seen that. I've heard good things.
Yeah, I've played the game that it's based on, but I haven't seen it either.
I love the director's name, Roar, or yeah, Uvaug. Sounds like an orc's name.
it does. And this is an idea that he said that had been kind of stuck in his head for about two decades and decided to kind of move forward with it when Tomb Raider was near completion. And yeah, using the Norwegian folklore of kind of the pre-Christian era, the trolls. And creating this massive monster movie based on it. And before we get further into this movie, Patrick, tell us, what is in a title?
Troll. I've not done the research on what the word troll means, but it is, I don't know if it's original to like the word itself, Norway, but Norway is probably best known for trolls, even though they exist in various other cultures and all over Scandinavia.
Mm-hmm.
But that's our main character, our main monster in this movie, and is named after it, which is a great sign for how kaiju-esque the film will be. It was mostly the same translation, because the word troll exists in a lot of different languages when this was released on Netflix throughout the world. There's a few places I found some different translations or different titles. Turkey had it as translates to mysterious monster, so maybe they did not have a troll to draw upon. Vietnam did call it troll, but had gave the subtitle giant mountain demon, which is pretty close to what a troll is. They're said to have lived in mountains. And Brazil kind of even further described it as the mountain troll is the title. So it is interesting to see where different countries will change it up a little bit. I think most of that is because, like I said, the word troll is very dependent upon where you are in the world. Because I think in some cultures, a troll is not a giant creature. It's like a smaller...
Yeah, more of a squat.
Dim a human, yeah.
I think even within the Norwegian tales, there's different kinds of trolls.
Yes, several. Same thing with fairies. There are some fairies that are like elves, basically, in mm-hmm. Europe. And then there are some that are like the tiny little flying ones that we know of. But yes, Scandinavia, and particularly Norway, has a very, very long tradition of trolls, which this movie uses as its backdrop, its history, as well as fictional history of trolls, comes into effect in this film, which we can talk a little bit about before we get started. We see in the movie some artwork from, I believe, Kittersen is the name of the artist. I did a lot of, I guess, what Norway mostly uses its inspiration for. So in the movie, we see like statues of trolls around Norway, and they're all a little cartoony. They've got the very bulbous noses and kind of chubby cheeks. And that was the same drawings from Kittersen were used for the art production team of the 2010 film Troll Hunter, which we covered last season.
Yeah.
I'm not a huge fan of that artwork. I mean, I like them for, you know, troll dolls.
Right.
Those look cute. But if you're trying to make like a giant kaiju monster, it's just sometimes it's a bit too cutesy.
Yeah. So with this particular interpretation, I kind of like the way they went. They kind of went more
feral human.
Yeah. But like this would not look out of place in Middle Earth. Like the kind of designs that they went with this one.
The face for our main troll king in the movie really does remind me of Gimli from Lord of the Rings, like his facial structures, the beard, everything there.
But what I do, I appreciate about this movie in particular, and we mentioned this in Troll Hunter when we watched it, is I love that we are doing we're getting something from a completely different culture that is, you know, unique. And like, mm-hmm. even though there are trolls and troll myths, you know, around the world, this is something that's been like very identifiable to the region for a very, very long time. And this movie also proves that, like, hey, yes, Troll Hunter came out, but you can make more than one troll movie and still make it very, very engaging. And
they're very different films, you know?
Yeah, and unlike a lot of more like some of the stuff that we saw in the 90s from Japan, where they are very, very, well, especially if you watch like Super Sentai, very, very inspired by the big sci-fi Western blockbusters of the time. Like, that is a little true here. Like, there is some stuff in this movie that's like equal parts Jurassic Park and equal mm-hmm. parts kaiju film. Like, there are some specific beats that I'm like, oh, this is 100% Jurassic Park.
The film definitely wears a lot of its influences on its sleeve, but yeah, at its core, like you said, the mythology that it uses is just top to bottom Norway. Well, I talked about the art, but the story is also kind of based on Henrik Ibsen's play Peter Gynt, which has the main character going to Dovregubben, the mountains of Dover, where he is beset upon by a troll king and has to, you know, like kind of play with the devil, deal with the devil there. And is a very famous play which inspired the music of composer Edvard Grieg, the track In the Hall of the mountain king being the troll king, which is the end credits music for this movie. And it's very, you know, if you hear it, you will recognize it immediately. I think it was used in some Bugs Bunny cartoons.
That's how I know it is from its use in, because a lot of classical pieces like this were used in Merry Melodies, Looney Tunes, mm-hmm. and so that bum 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 bum, mm-hmm. like, you know, like
classic.
Yeah, very classic stuff, and you might be thinking, oh, also the Nutcracker a little bit, but like,
Sorry, go ahead.
But yeah, I remember hearing that song at the end of the movie, and I'm like, huh, that's a choice. And then I realize, oh, that's an actual troll song.
Yeah. I mean, it does feel like it builds a bit upon Troll Hunter in that we have the heroes of the movie using UV light, although hilariously tanning beds at the end of the film, tons of tanning beds, to fight the trolls, just like the flashes used by the Troll Hunter in the eponymous film. So kind of similar there. I think it is interesting that at first they thought it was not weak to sunlight in the film because they had seen it several times in the sunlight, but they realized it was always overcast when mm-hmm. the troll was out and about, which is, it was a fun little twist.
I agree. I liked that too.
Yeah, but to get back to the troll's design, it's interesting. It doesn't, like, from the neck up, it is very cartoony. The face, very, very bulbous. And then body down, it's just like a guy. Just like a naked guy.
No, I mean,
with like a big, big tail.
With a tail, which, I mean, that's trolls. But like,
yeah,
I don't disagree, but I also love when they have the bits where it kind of, especially in the beginning of the movie, where, you know, it blends in with the, the scenery, and so like it isn't until it opens its eye that you see like, oh, there's a troll there. There's some really great stuff they do with the design, but I do agree that the troll design itself just needs a little something. It needs a little pizzazz. It just needs a little zipping up, you know.
I think some color or some, like, as the movie went on, I would have loved to have seen battle damage, because like it got burnt and, you know, attacked several times throughout the film. Doesn't really carry that with it. The movie has a few making of things that Netflix has put out on YouTube and places like that, where you can see some of the original designs were a bit more monstrous, less humanoid, and they played around with how much like rocky texture was going to be on the skin, and how long like the hair, the quote unquote beard of like moss and vines and trees and stuff was going to be. I mm-hmm. kind of wish they had pushed it, because some of the art you can see had like whole trees growing off of its shoulders, and just really gave a good sense of scale.
Yeah, I agree with that.
some of the details of that kind of disappear unless you're really close up to the creature. But yeah, pretty simple plot. You know, they definitely didn't reinvent the wheel when it comes to the plot. Do you have some comparisons to other movies besides Jurassic Park that this made you think of?
So there's some fun things that I was thinking about when we were watching this movie, like especially what, so when they get the, and this movie clips along, this movie's paced very well. Like it just starts, like it starts with them getting Professor Nora Tiedemann. Is that how they pronounce it?
I believe so.
Who is this paleontology expert. And they bring her aboard to kind of help figure out what's going on, because this, they just discover this giant crater that has seemingly appeared, and then some odd happenings around Norway. And they, you know, they got some video evidence, and she was raised by some pretty legendary folklorists who, as she put it, had a break with reality and is estranged from her only living parent, her father. And so from there, we kind of get this adventure of her seeking out what this beast is, coming to terms with the fact that there is a troll out there, and then they got to figure out how to stop it. It's a very clippy pace movie. It does have a lot of, honestly, some Godzilla in this movie.
Yes, 1998, you mean?
Yes.
Yeah, so that's what I've written down in my notes here, is it is, in a lot of ways, kind of beat for beat that film, because they helicopter in the expert from the field, just like they did the worm biologist. And this is definitely better, but also has a very similar kind of car chase across a bridge towards the finale.
Yes,
of the
it
film,
does. Yes, which, it does.
Reminded me a lot of, we get a huge footprint examination, just like 98's Godzilla.
Big fan of the footprint.
But you know what also stuck out to me, and probably my favorite scene, was when they attached church bells to a helicopter squadron and attack.
It's great. It's really, really great.
That is an actual water park in Norway that has.
Is it?
Troll. Yeah, I didn't write the name down, but yeah, it's about halfway through the film, and we get what to me feels exactly like the helicopter sequence at the beginning of Kong Skull Island. Very similar, you know, giant creature snatching helicopters out of the air, throwing helicopters at one another, smashing in the ground. There's even like some fire and explosions that really remind me of that movie. Once again, this movie is wearing a lot of its influences on its sleeve, and that was one of the best parts of Kong Skull Island, so it is one of the best parts of this movie as well.
Yeah. No, I liked that a lot. Most of the schemes were great. I really love the nerdy assistant, Andreas.
Yes.
And his little Star Trek flirtation with the kind of computer girl that works at the home base.
It worked pretty well. He was a good kind of comic relief character. It wasn't over the top, you know, it was very European or Scandinavian.
A lot of the comedy came from the fact that he's constantly pitching his sci-fi monk idea to people, and like even when he's entering a room and he's like giving you another piece of the information of what this guy can do, because he can like throw his head and bite things or shoot his fingers like darts, and he's like this warrior monk. And I was like, every time I heard a new detail from this idea, I was like, this is so dumb, I love it so much.
Most everyone in the movie is a Norwegian actor or Scandinavian in some way, except we do have a small role playing an American, the actor Billy Campbell, which I guess I mostly know him from The Rocketeer.
Yeah, as well you should.
Supposedly they invited him onto the script or gave him his script for this film by replacing the cover page with one that said, you know, Billy Campbell, Rocketeer 2, like Troll Avenger or something along those lines, which I thought was fun.
That's funny.
He's not in the movie very long. He's just kind of the other paleontologist. I kind of wish they had brought him along a bit for the adventure, but I understand. I mean, he like they ostensibly brought him all the way out to Norway to film for like a day or so, and that was probably it. But yeah, everyone in the cast I really enjoyed. I think I especially liked the father, Tobias Tiedemann, played by Gard Eidsvold. Very funny, very much similar to his troll hunter kind of counterpart, kind of a bit of a scatterbrained troll expert. This movie does, I would say, even better at kind of tying the mythology into the actual monster, because they kind of explain the link between trolls and their hatred for Christianity.
Yes, which I thought was really, really cool.
The kingly lineage of Norway having exterminated the trolls with the advent, or I guess bringing of Christians and the religion to Norway. Interesting stuff. Love the troll baby skull that they used for marketing for the movie as well. They built, I suppose, at least some physical props in that department, but they at least had the one for the driving sequence where it's in the flatbed of the truck towards the end. Yeah, a lot of great production value of this movie in that nothing felt like it was filmed on a studio set or green screen or nothing. It was all out in the woods or out in built sets. I guess the only thing that, well, even the command center for the president and like the army and stuff, it felt like a real place. I don't know. It's hard to explain.
They take great advantage of the absolutely stunning landscapes that is Norway. There is some gorgeous like locations that they shoot at. That, I mean, this movie's beautifully shot and it looks incredible. And I mean, honestly, even just for the shots of Norway, this movie's worth watching. But
and it's so different from Troll Hunter, which was like a more narrow kind of aperture camera. Because
it's a found footage situation.
Yeah, for the found footage. This one is definitely, well, sadly, it is made for the big screen. But now that I'm looking at it, I don't think they had a theatrical release. I think it was just
insane. This movie deserves to be seen on the big screen. Well,
yeah, because they normally do that to get it into the running for awards and things. But I guess,
I figured at least in Norway it would have been on the big screen. Because
I would love to.
Apparently, it was like one of the most expensive, or at least the sequels, like one of the most expensive Norwegian productions ever made.
I can't wait. I can't wait. What else is there to talk about?
I do think while they could have beefed up, because this movie is a pretty, I don't want to say lean, but it's like an hour 40, and it goes. Like, this movie does not overstay its welcome. And that's kind of for better or for worse. There are some bits where I was like, I kind of wished we had a little bit more here, especially the stuff with Nord and her father. And
I was about to say it.
In the third act, when they're kind of like, you know, flip-flopping on whether or not they were going to kill the troll, I was like, this seems like you knew what was going to happen. And and even Captain Chris was like, isn't this what you wanted? I see what they were trying to do with this scene, but I don't think the scene stuck the landing, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, well, it's such a shame because it seemed like they had realized, you know,
the troll is the bad guy.
was seeking revenge on something that happened 1,000 years ago. And it could have been reasoned with. It was being reasoned with towards the end and maybe would have gone home. But Dawn got it. Actual light rays got it at the end.
Yeah. And I still don't know how I feel about that aspect of it. But I do. Yeah. What's so funny is you watch these movies and you're always like, oh, that person's an idiot. There's no possible way they could have a position in government. But then we live in the world we do. So it's less of a criticism now, because I'm like, yeah, no, that makes sense. This idiot would be just wanting to push the button and nuke this thing. And, you know, so I was like, yeah, it's just kind of funny because, like, you always see, you know, the protagonist being treated like a crackpot or whatever. I'm like, but you people brought this thing in, and not a single person has actually sat and been like, oh yeah, this is a unique situation. This creature is not like a giant bear. We have video of it. And everyone's like trying to act like the like Nora's crazy. Like, I'm sorry, did you not just see the giant troll on the screen? So why wouldn't things revolving around stories of trolls not be taken into consideration? That sequence frustrated me to no end, because I understand one or two folks, but like everyone in the room was like kind of teaming up on her at that point. I was like, this is stupid.
Well, the other thing is like they were planning to use some kind of massive Moab kind of bomb on it at the end to stop it from destroying Oslo, but it seems like they were about to destroy Oslo.
Exactly.
With
like,
so
no
like,
one can,
what?
No one can destroy Oslo except us.
Yeah. So the ending felt a little weird. It's like they probably should have done that before it got to Oslo, but for whatever reason, plot wise, could not. But yeah, it's taken out at the end, which I'm guessing means we're in a Godzilla 94 situation, and Troll 2 will be other trolls, because spoiler warning, there are two trolls.
I was gonna say the poster is two trolls fighting, so we're gonna get like actual kaiju stuff.
Yeah, we kind of give shades of the
War of the Gargantuas.
Yeah, yeah. The poster. So, and I have watched the trailer. I'm excited about it.
Not.
I'm guessing the first movie did very well for Netflix, which I'm happy about. Yeah,
it's good, because most movies seem these days, unless it's an Adam Sandler joint, not to do that well on Netflix. Like K-pop, well, Demon Hunters is kind of the exception.
I was about to say, yeah, they have 10 kind of blips and then one crazy, you know, culture shaking film kind of like that, which will change stuff up and allow them to continue making movies and TV shows. It's the same thing with Stranger Things. Stranger Things probably allowed them, you know, the carte blanche to start 20 other shows, and maybe five of them survive past season one to continue on.
Everything sucks.
Everything does suck. But yeah,
I will never not be mad that show is canceled.
We've mentioned it several times on the podcast.
I know.
I'm excited this movie's getting a sequel. And like I said, I do want to watch it as soon as it comes out. Specifically to give it those boost numbers, which I did not do for this movie, but give it the boost the week that it comes out, so it's up there in the algorithm for Netflix.
Same.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what else we have to talk about here. Very solid film. I'd like to get to reviewing it. I don't know about you, but
yeah, let's dig into it. So what's your personal enjoyment?
Okay. No, what's your personal enjoyment? Miles, I always start, I feel.
Oh, like. Okay. Touchy.
Yeah.
Very touchy. I absolutely love this movie. I think it's great.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought Marie Wilman as Nora was excellent. She gave me kind of Laurence Leboeuf vibes. And I thought this was a great use of Western mythology via a kaiju film, using stuff that people don't often think about. Even though it's sometimes a little awkward delivering some of that mythology to you, this movie paces along very, very well. I mean, you strap in and it's off the races. And I really appreciated that. As a result, you know, some of the stuff, like I mentioned, gets a little overlooked. But in terms of like entertainment value, this movie clips along. It's gorgeously shot. The troll, despite, you know, some of our misgivings about the design, looks great, especially when it's like becoming a mountain and stuff. There are some excellent sequences involving the troll and like two actors talking, and then you see just kind of the in the mountain, like an eye open. Very, very cool. It's pretty well written. The actors are really delightful.
Yeah.
And there's some fun carnage in the third act of the troll in Oslo. And I mean, outside of Cloverfield, it's really hard to think of a Western kaiju movie that has kind of really stuck the landing like this. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, that isn't based on a prior, like,
or creature, isn't, like, you know, Del Toro or some other artiste.
Right. But also, like, you know, Del Toro is certainly riffing off, you know, Godzilla existing stuff and Evangelion. Oh. But I count Pacific Rim. But I mean, you think of, yeah, Pacific Rim, Cloverfield, and like very little else in terms of like things that are like on that level. Despite my love for Tremors as a kaiju adjacent movie, I just think this movie just did a great job making a unique Western kaiju in the form of the troll. And for me, 9 out of 10. I had a blast with this movie. I thought the drama was great. I thought the creature was great. I thought it was extremely well directed and done so in a way that like you're always engaged. Part of that is because Norway is absolutely stunning to always look at, and everything about this movie worked for me. So for me, I mean, kind of near perfect in some ways, But I mean, obviously with a couple things that we had talked about, which will come up in the next section. But what about you? How'd you feel about it?
Yeah. So my first watch through, I was very happy here. It is a rather more simple, kind of straightforward film than 2010's Trollhunter, which has kind of like a mystery element to it with this character at its, you know, center. This is, yeah, just pure 1988 Godzilla. Let's get to the Godzilla in the film. And it's pretty quick on screen. Like, it's less than 20 minutes before we get to see the full troll, I feel like, in effect. It has a lot of troll tropes. It's got a lot of very good familiar kaiju slash action movie tropes in it. Mm-hmm. And like you said, it moves along very quickly. There are some character interactions, which I wish they focused on more, because there's also, I'm like, we didn't even mention, there's like a soldier character that
Captain
is kind
Chris.
Of, yeah, Captain Chris, who's kind of flirty with Honora.
Yeah, it I feels really like could. He that, is. That's so awkward, because like they never ever like do anything more than give each other a look. But they do have that kind of chemistry. Well, like, is he supposed to be the romantic like interest for her?
Yeah, they talk about like how they're on first same basis at first, and then later on when he has to like bar her from doing something, like kills her by last name.
I love when she's like, "Oh, so we're back to last names." That was a great line, like a great just like bit.
Spoilers: they are. Almost everyone is back for the sequel, so I'm excited about that. Very fun movie, and like you said, the beautiful locales are enough for watching this. I'm up there with you. I'm giving this an 8 out of 10 for my personal enjoyment. I think a sequel with a little more meat on the bones might boost that up, but
that's fair. Yeah.
Right now, it is an 8, which is a great on our scale. For its technical aspects, I'm also at an 8 out of 10. Very solid script, very simple. Like I said, I hate to keep saying that, but it is very standard for this kind of movie styling that they're going for, which the director called like a 4-quadrant, like big tent kind of movie, VFX CGI movie. But origin movies like this are just hard. Even if you are going at breakneck paces, you are dealing with a story that has been told, I mean, just in our kaiju podcast world, like 100 times, the single monster coming and destroying the city and the military dealing with it. So you really have to do something to elevate a script like that. I think the special effects are excellent. Like I said, I had a few reservations with how the monster was presented, but it's still very good. And at the end of the movie, you know, kind of a lovable character, the Troll King. You don't want to see him die. So in that respect, very good. And I'm giving it an 8 out of 10. What about you for its technical aspect?
I am right there with you. 8 out of 10 for me as well, for basically the exact same reasons. I do think the script needed some padding. There are certainly some character work that I think needed to be beefed up. But yeah, this idea that like the troll itself is kind of a tragic character, and they sort of superficially give you that, but they don't really give you that. And I feel like they kind of like wanted to have their cake and eat it too, and it just doesn't really work, especially in the finale. And that kind of bumps me out, because so much of this movie is so strong. And then, yes, we had some reservations about how the troll is designed. But otherwise, yes, this is a well-acted, well-directed, and generally well-written blockbuster. And they do a great job with it. And a great way to introduce more people around the world to the Norwegian troll.
What about its importance as a kaiju film? Where do you rate it amongst all 220 other kaiju movies we've seen?
I am back and forth on this one, because there are so few Western examples that I can just be like, oh yeah, this movie's excellent, and it's a great example of a Western kaiju. And I think I said the same thing about Trollhunter when it came out, because it is so unique, and it's funny that it's about the exact same subject matter. But I think this one deserves to be in the conversation. I'm kind of waffling for me on 8 or 9. I don't think it's as valuable as a 9, so I'm probably going to go with an 8. But I think this is absolutely a movie that if we're having a conversation about relevant Western kaiju films, you know, I think Norway is 2 for 2. And I think both those movies are pretty excellent and great examples of other countries and cultures taking the thing that we love and applying it to themselves. And I couldn't have been happier about that.
Yeah.
What about you?
I think I'm going to up my score a little bit. Just go back to it. Troll Hunter, I gave a 7 out of 10 and you gave it an 8 out of 10. Our podcast funnel went down to a 7. I think this movie is very important to setting up.
Yeah, both I agree.
A kaiju film and an expression of national identity. And they're doing that kind of very late in the game as far as kaiju cinema is concerned, but doing something that can support a franchise. Yeah. There's just so few examples of it outside of Japan, Korea, you know, but
and elevating, us using those Japanese monsters,
elevating the trolls of Norway to this kind of modern movie monster feels awesome. And I don't think it's, you know, crazy to say this is the best European kaiju film of all time. You know, there's less than 10
until tomorrow
on our list. Yeah. But I think it's important to the scale of film. So I'm going to bump its importance up to a 9 out of 10. I originally had it also at an 8.
You know what? I'm going there with you.
Okay. Well, really messing with the math. That
good. I'm glad to do it.
It almost puts the entire movie at a 9 out of 10 for us. You're at a 9, a soft 9. I'm at a hard 8. And that brings Troll to an 8 out of 10 for the podcast.
I'm happy about that. This is definitely one to check out. And as a Netflix movie, it couldn't be easier. Except I will say this. Netflix is not always great with their language features because, you know, there are some sequences that are in English. And if you're watching it in the original Norwegian with subtitles, then it messes up during the sequence. I think when they are looking at dinosaur bones, there's a couple odd sequences here and there that do force you to kind of tweak, or maybe it's just me. Maybe it was my Netflix that was goofing up, but I've had this happen before. And also it's weird that like when you start the movie, it automatically goes with the English dub and not Norwegian with English subtitles, which I found infuriating.
Didn't end up watching it in English, which was definitely not the best way to watch it.
No, I watched about 5 minutes in English and I was like, that's enough.
Yeah. Well, I was a little confused because like one of the early scenes is with the
There Billy is Campbell. Stuff in English.
Yeah, which is in English very clearly, but then they kind of switch it up. All right, so a 8 out of 10 for Troll. Definitely, I think both of our scores are 1 point higher than Troll Hunter, which is a great movie, but this is much more, you know, kaiju sized.
I mean, I've seen Troll Hunter several times, so it's not that, but like if given the choice, I will easily put this on. This is just an easy breezy movie to watch.
Yeah. So it gets a great 8 out of 10 from us. That is going to do it for Troll. If you want to find us online, you can type into Google Kaiju versus History or into your search bar, kaijuversushistory.com. We're on our sister podcast, Cosmic Crit, on Discord. If you search for Cosmic Crit, we have a whole channel dedicated to kaiju stuff. Or you can reach out to us directly via email. We've had some fans, thank you very much, who have been emailing us in this last week. KaijuVersusHistory@gmail.com. And last but not least, you can find our reviews in 5-star format on Letterboxd. Search Kaiju versus History on Letterboxd. Miles, what are we doing next week?
Well, thank you, Patrick, and thank you, listeners. Oh, boy. Sadly, we are going to return to the U.S. and the quagmire of the Asylum Film Studio with their take on a massive crossover film. Can the sum of the studio's parts become better, or will it just bring down our average score for low-budget schlock? Find out as we head into the Asylum multiverse, and tune in next time for History versus 2025 Armageddon. Bum, 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 bum.